Yeah. Mic check.
Mic check.
How's that sound?
Good.
Sure?
Yeah.
You can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Positive.
Mm-hmm.
You got this. When I say American, you say...
Riddle.
When I say American, you say...
Riddle.
That's right. Riddle.
Got it.
One more time, people. We're on the air.
What's up, Malcolm?
Mariam Tazi. One more time for your motherfucking mind, people.
Damn. And Malcolm Riddle.
She's already losing it, people. She's already losing it.
You told me some funny stories already.
Had to. Had to do it. That's right, people. I gotta work out my material on Mariam sometimes. See how it works.
I was crying.
So if I could get a room of... you know, 50 people with your sense of humor, then I might have a stand-up special. That's the trick right there. To get X amount of people that share that same perception of me.
Well, that'd be tough.
Really?
I don't know.
So my jokes aren't universal.
Your jokes are pretty universal. It's just hard to look at it from a different perspective. I think you're funny. I know your mom thinks you're funny.
Yeah. I think she does. Who knows? She probably just finds it entertaining.
It is. That's good.
There's a difference between entertaining and funny, though.
True. But you can be entertained and laugh at the same time.
This is true.
You can combine the two.
Speaking of entertaining, I had a pretty entertaining day. And I talked to you briefly about this, but I spared you. Some things you have to save for the podcast. We'll save this conversation for the podcast, Malcolm Riddle says.
Oh, yeah. I have to wait.
I went to volunteer
with
my son, and he, he's in, middle school now?
Mm-hmm.
So we had bingo night. His mom, she comes up with these ideas a lot of times, and it's just... you know, can you do this? Can you do this? Or she signs them up for this and that and then lets me know.
Oh.
You know, and then I got to work it into my schedule, which is fine. In the end, of course, I'll bitch and moan like most men do. Usually what the woman comes up with is in the best interest for everyone. It usually works out that way, I've learned over time.
Mm.
So sometimes I just keep the complaining to myself when I'm in the car alone. And it was a bingo night set up, so... like, oh, you're going to volunteer? Yeah, okay, I'm going to volunteer. You know, damn, it's a smart tactic for women to do to men.
Nagging.
If you say it enough, eventually it'll set in. So, you know, it's like, Jesus, I'm a volunteer. Okay, I'm a volunteer.
So you volunteered, huh?
I volunteered.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, volunteered.
Nice of you.
Signed
That's
up.
Very nice of you. Very thoughtful.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it was I was running late, and so I have to drive like an hour to where my son goes to school. So I had to get there in time for the 4 o'clock setup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that takes a bit of effort. You know, pat on the back for Malcolm.
Good job.
And then the setup, you get there. And I have to set up tables. I figured, you know, I don't want to do cleanup detail because as soon as it's over, I don't want to, you know.
Stay after.
Too much. You know, yeah. I've had enough, I'm sure. So I can perceive. Is that the word? Yeah. I can see down the road that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I want to get out of there, and, you know.
Fair enough.
So
you
I was like,
pre-setup.
Yeah, you know, I'll set it up. No big deal. Moving some tables around, whatever. It's easy. It's at a school. It's probably going to be in the gymnasium or the cafeteria. So it was in the cafeteria. You know, I walk in. No one's in there. Excuse me. Anyone here? I'm here for the volunteer. You know, I got to sound like that. Hey, guys.
Here to help.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to sound very, very, like, parent-like, you know, non-threatening. You can't be like, yo, what up? You know, I'm here.
Here for what, yeah. Sir?
Excuse you? Who are you? Do you have identification? You don't need to see my identification. I go to volunteer, get in there, find the cafeteria. It's the whole thing. There's parents running around in mom jeans and the dad jeans and the New Balance white shoes. And I'm in there, you know, Dickies, skull cap, shell tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm chilling and start setting the tables up. And they're like, oh, by the way. Whenever I hear the oh, by the way, in the high pitched.
Never good.
Oh, yeah. By the way.
There's going to be a lot more to this.
They wanted me to put paper on all the tables. So those big, long bench tables that are in the cafeteria for kids. You know, so they wanted the sheet paper, whatever. I don't know. So they had these big...
Like from the doctor's office?
No, something like that, but they're colored papers, like for crafts and stuff. So it's on a big roll. So you roll it. And cause, like, you guys got scissors, you know, supplies. I mean, we're going to tape them on. How's this going to work? All right. If you're expecting a bunch of kids in here... Shit's going to be all over the place. I already know it.
You want me to set this up for what? To make a mess?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, I'm just going to, you know, lie it down and it's just going to stay magically. Oh, we have tape. So she brings over some scotch tape.
Okay.
Do you know what's underneath a cafeteria, like a school? Do you know what's underneath what kids do? They wipe their pizza and their cheese and their yogurt and their smashed banana. And stuff like that. So scotch tape really doesn't work. So I'm laying, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to take all the paper and just, you know, just measure it, put it on top of the table, measure it. It's different colors. Like we had pink, we had orange, we had brown, black, blue. Yeah. So I was like, here, we'll do this, this. And you know me, I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like, make it this, this, this. And my son's helping me, Justin. So I'm like, yeah. We go through all that, right? And I'm working up a sweat. I'm working up a friggin' sweat doing this. And we're laying it down. Everything looks good, measured to perfection. And I'm like, it has to overlap a little bit because we fold it under, like wrapping a Christmas present, you know, wrapping a table. So fold it underneath and then tape it. So we start putting the masking or the scotch tape. And it's not really sticking. You know, you know, I'm getting annoyed by the minute and I'm sweating, starting to break a sweat because I want it on there and I don't want it, you know. I'm thinking about myself more than... More than the kids and the production, you know. Volunteer. But I am thinking about the production because I'm thinking that this is the production value of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like a producer. I want mine right. On the other side, another dad came in and he starts doing it. His is all sideways and loose. And I'm like, nah, ours is going to be tight, snug. So we start taping it. And finally, I just got frustrated. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I was like, Jay, you know, because we leave a school, you can't get back in. So I was like, watch the door. I'm going to go to the truck. Always carry duct tape with me. Everywhere I go, I carry duct tape. I don't believe in many things, but the one thing I believe in is duct tape.
I've seen you use it as a cup holder.
I use it as a cup holder. That's right. It works. Keep a roll of duct tape. So I go out there, I get that, and that sticks like a charm.
Of course, it sticks
on
everything.
Yeah, you're not getting that paper off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So.
Did you have scissors to cut the
tape? Yeah, there were scissors. At least. Yeah, they went and got me some scissors after I started ripping it
teeth.
In a violent way off of the roll. She was like, hey, maybe I should get you some scissors.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey, Mr. Riddle. Yeah, they were a little scared of me because I probably had this very serious, stern look on my face.
You're focused.
As I'm going. Yeah, I was very focused. You know, I wanted the task at hand to be completed with perfection. I'm telling you, my side was pristine. It was perfect. It was so tight and perfect on there.
I'm sure it was.
Well, I mean, you got to have it. I mean, it's part of the deal. And, you know, I wanted the volunteering thing to go over really well. But, sometimes I think I get caught up and get a little bit too serious with it. And finally we finished, no big deal, everything went over well, bingo started, I was tired as hell afterwards, you know what I mean, my stomach started bubbling, I thought I had to take a shit at one point, it's horrible, man.
Before bingo started or after?
Yeah, before, all this was before, yeah, you can't take me anywhere, you know, my son knows this, he's looking at me the whole time, shaking his head, you know, looking at my hat, you know, he's just like, what are you doing, man, be serious. You're gonna wear that hat.
I love that he makes fun of you.
He's like, yeah, my hat's like a shark's fin. They call me Jaws. He's like, what? I was like, cool, Jay, man. You ever, I'm bad. Ever heard the song? No, Dad.
No.
Yeah. My hat is like a shark's fin. So, yeah. So we finish that now, bingo. And he's like, I'm sitting there and I look over at him. I'm like, yeah, well, we're done here. I was like, you think we should leave? He's like, after all that. After all that, he crosses his arms. After all that, we're just going to leave. After you bitching and moaning and complaining, sweating, complaining about your stomach bubbling up. Because I do all this aloud. I'm not just like, I'm not just sitting there thinking like, oh, I
your internal monologue is not internal.
Let's no. Just,
yeah.
It's not internal. I'm running through it and saying it in a whisper. But he can hear it because he's not next to me. Yeah, he's got to listen to me. I'm sure he's going to have some stories if he ever does a podcast. Let me tell you about my dad. This motherfucker.
That would be really cute, actually.
This. Yeah, yeah. At one point, I looked over at him, and he was like bobbing his head. My hat is like a shark's fin. My hat is like a shark's fin. Because he's a kid, and he imitates. And then he was like, American Riddle, y'all. American Riddle. American Riddle. It's true.
That's really cute.
Yeah. So he, oops, dropping things, people. So yeah, we set it up, and give me a second. Had to take my hat off and position my headphones on right.
Shark fin.
Yeah, it's like a shark fin. Gets in the way of headphones. So we ended up doing the bingo. Bingo is, it's just bingo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played bingo in years.
Yeah, I mean, it's calling out numbers.
How hard can it be? They call out a number, you match it up. If you get X amount in a row or something.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, if you get bingo, you get bingo.
Yeah. You know, G52, you know? Yeah. And the lady, she kept doing, like, there was one, it came up like 3 or 4 times. Oh, 69. Oh. And every time I would laugh. And my juvenile, what? Oh, 69, anyone? Oh, 69. And I'd be cracking up. And I'd go over to Justin and I'd be like, oh, 69. Oh.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know yet, boy. Oh, 69. And or we should go, I, 69. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I bet. Bet you do. I-69, you teacher. Good God.
God, that is not volunteering. That's not the same mentality.
My mind is warped. My mind. Wrong. I don't even know if that's illegal. Because I'm like looking around too. It's like I'll laugh and then I'll look around and see if anyone else is like, huh?
Nope, just and you.
You look over at a 13-year-old girl. Huh? Maybe I shouldn't look at you. Keep on looking, probing to see the area. Who's there that understands the humor? No one gets it. It's just me and my warped mind. So we start bingo. Everything's going well. And you know, I don't come off as a competitive person, but I'm very competitive. I'm through and throughout.
I've learned that.
You know, I'm in sales. You know what I mean? If you just go out with me and you're just out playing volleyball at the beach or some shit like that, like I'm going to smash it. Or playing tennis, you know, just hey, we're gonna.
You're like, I destroy you in tennis. I'm like, I don't want to play with you.
Yeah, you're gonna volley.
Like, yeah, you want to help me practice? Yeah, I'll destroy you. I was like, all right, maybe not.
Yeah, I'll annihilate you.
Yeah, annihilate.
I'm going to murder you. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm like,
no, you said it out loud. I was like, all right, let's.
I'll volley a bit, and then all of a sudden I start getting into it. So and believe you me, it's going to go down. So we're playing bingo, right? And it's going, right? And I'm coloring in the numbers. And just G42, A13, O69. They're going through it all, and I'm coloring. Finally, I start doing it, and I start getting into the groove. And I get like 5 in a row, right? So I'm like, look around. And I just yell out, bingo! And I start getting like worked up, right? I'm like looking, and my son, he's noticing next to him. He's like, oh my God, what's he doing? What's he doing? And he sees I'm getting ready to yell bingo really loud. And he knows, he's like, put the brakes on, dude. Put the brakes
Let
on.
Let me check first.
And I can see his movements out the corner of my eye. Like, he's hitting his hand like on the table, like slow really? It down. And I just yell out. I yell out so loud. Loudly. It's super loud. And this is in the cafeteria. So, you know, it echoes. And I'm very loud anyway. So I yell, bingo! And I stand up when I do it. And I hold my arm up like I just won.
A war?
Yeah. No. I thought, yeah. Yeah, like I was the victor of the Olympics. Like I just, I won the new Cadillac. Like I just, I won the lottery.
Oh, man.
It was as if, you know, I won the gladiators battle and I just roared. Yeah. And this is the school just went silent. Everyone looked at me and I go charging the front with my ticket. And it was all in slow motion because as I'm going in slow motion and going up, I kind of look back and this is slow motion. And I catch my son and he's ducking his head under the table. He is literally high. And I'm thinking, why? And by that time, his speech's back up. I'm up here with my ticket. I won all that set up table. This is what I said. Setting up that table, I was sweating. It was worth it now. I just won. I said that to the people presenting, right? It was worth it. They're looking at it. They're like, sir.
Oh, no.
Apparently, there's some new form of bingo where you have to make a shape. It's not just
what?
Five in a row. So you have to make a...
There's a line.
You have to make a C. You have to make an X. You have to make all these. They've changed bingo somewhere along the line. They've done this with Christmas carols, too. Like when they sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, they've added verses to it, I've noticed over the years, which is bizarre for me. So when I go up to retrieve my prize, I'm informed that I wasn't looking at the screen, the projector that gives the shit. Because I don't read, so I didn't read. I just saw bingo, you know? If I just see bingo, I'm playing bingo, and that's what I know. I go by like shapes and sizes and colors and like a stop sign. I just see red. I don't see stop. I just, you know, that's just how I am. That's how I'm wired. So with the bingo thing, I just saw bingo. So I know what bingo is, but underneath in small print, you have to match it up to this shape. So it was in the shape of a C. And you get bingo, and you get all those numbers.
It's weak.
Yeah. And by the time I got up there and they explained it, I had to do the walk of shame back.
Aww.
So, and I turned around, all the little kids, their eyes were all on me. And they were just like, and I saw a lot of heads, you know. And my son's head was just buried. And I was just like, ugh. It was a long walk of shame. Long walk of shame. Yeah.
It's sad but funny.
It was bad. It was not.
Bingo will never be the same in your eyes again.
Man, I tell you.
Oh, you got all excited.
I got very competitive and I won and I wanted the world to know that yes, it was my time. It was all about me. I was very selfish in that moment. It's terrible.
At least you recognize it.
Yeah, no, it's it was a. It was
you got punished for it.
I did. Yeah, my son. Yeah, he just kept just you know. I was like, yeah, I can't make up for this one. It's the shame of the family name.
Aww.
It's an embarrassment to the community.
Oh my god.
It is.
Relax. So, it's just a bingo mistake.
But the beauty of it is, people. Redemption wasn't far away.
Yeah.
And not a moment too soon, I got bingo again.
Did you?
And I got it right this time.
Aww.
But I was so scared. I was gun shy that I waited a few letters after and asked the little girl next to me. I was like, what shape are we doing this time? She was like, oh, it's just straight bingo this time. And she gave me a little side laugh like, And I was like, all right, I won. And then I took my card. And I slowly moved it to my left where Justin was seated. And I gave it to him. And I was like, you go up. Sent the boy up to claim the prize.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like, say bingo. It's like, I can't go through this again. I was like, could you imagine two times? I had to negotiate this really fast because if somebody else got bingo, we'd lose out on the prize. So he went up and got the bingo prize, claimed it, and I was like, redemption. And he was like, he just nodded his head. He's like, yeah. So
he's cool.
Yeah. So that's what you get when you volunteer. But
that's a great story.
It wasn't bad. You know, we hung out. It was a fun time. We ate. We got pizza.
Nice.
They were selling pizza by the slice. We bought a whole pizza. And yeah. Yeah. All the other parents are getting the pizza by. I was like, how much for the whole pizza? Oh, we have a value pizza. They're like, you sure you don't want just a slice? I was like, look at us. Lady, one slice is just going to make us mad. Are you kidding?
And competitive. We're going to fight for that slice.
Yeah, so we got a whole large pizza, and it came with the value meal was like four drinks and four snacks. So I was like, I can't carry four drinks, but we'll take two drinks. I'll come back later. So you remember me, lady, and we'll claim those. The four snacks, what am I going to do with Doritos? And oh, you have Starburst. We'll take four. We'll take four of those. Walked out, sat down, ate the whole pizza. I mean, a whole pizza's not that many slices. It's like four slices each or something. I don't know. You know.
I eat like two.
We're men.
Yeah.
We're men. We got to eat, people. That's don't true. Give me that one slice shit. That'll make me mad.
Yeah, I'll turn into the Hulk.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was bingo. So, in the end, it worked out. It worked out well. And I think everyone had a great time. And thanks to the duct tape. You got to have duct tape.
Came to the rescue.
Duct tape will save your life in many a way. It's like I told my son. I said, straight up, always carry duct tape.
Save
why? Because it can
life?
Stick to anything? Damn right. If you got a hole in your damn, if you have a hole like in a space shuttle or some shit, you can use duct tape.
Space shuttle.
Sure. It'll clog up something. You do it like if you got
how many of us are hanging out in space and have
well,
our own
let's say,
shuttle?
Let's say if you're
I thought you were going to say like a hole in your shoe or something like that where more people could relate.
Anything it will
space
okay,
shuttle.
Let's say if you're driving your car and your heater hose. Back in the day there were hoses that used to connect to your engine
mm-hmm.
and sometimes those hoses would get a pinhole in them mm-hmm. and the steam would come out, overheat your car. These days it's too all electronic and you know it's like hard plastics and pipes and shit like. But even still, duct tape is your friend. You
fair
can
enough.
Use it for anything. You name it. Shit. Robert Redford could have used fucking duct tape on, what is it, All Is Lost.
Ugh. Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to talk about that?
That motherfucker. It's going to be a lot of motherfuckers called on this podcast, people. So if your ears are sensitive, get over it.
Yeah, this telling movie you. Did not make you happy.
All Is Lost. I wasn't going to get into it this early in the game, but why not? You know what I mean? Why
you
not?
Mentioned it.
So All Is Lost is a film. And let's see who the director is in this film. I don't have
J.C. Shandor.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a new Jack. He's directed a couple films, but I don't think anything anyone would notice. All Is Lost starring Robert Redford. You guys know Robert Redford.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
What did he do? Bonnie and Clyde back in the day, The Sting, All the President's Men, and one of my favorites, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Good stuff.
No, he's great. He's a great actor. So
he's also 77 now.
Yeah, he is a seasoned veteran. He's been around. We know him. We love him. We respect him. He's got a lot of fans out there because the room was filled in the theater with a lot of elderly folk that probably followed his career.
Yeah.
Happy to see him back up on the silver screen. And I knew going into this film that it was just going to be Robert Redford, you know, into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be him on there, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect, but I did hear some rave reviews. But I going into it, I saw the trailer and I was like, I wouldn't that it didn't do anything to me. And I heard one or two reviews, mainly one review that made me want to go see it. It said it was you know, one of the best films they've seen all year, and it had the greatest ending and all this blah blah blah. You know, it is what it is. You hear reviews, you kind of get, you know, whatever. You check them out, piques your interest, you go. But the film itself, I think, had a lot of holes in it that didn't do it for me personally. I mean, I thought it was, I thought the overall production value of it was great.
You know, it looked good.
Cinematography, the acting, you know, him, him, you know, going through the emotions and stuff. But
you can't say anything about the script.
No, because nothing was really said in the movie, which I think was a missed opportunity, because people want to see Robert Redford, but I don't know if you really want to see, just see Robert Redford. You kind of want to be able to interact, relate, and get to know the character in some way, shape, or form. In this film, it's basically putting a camera on someone and they're quiet through the whole film. Might say one or two words, you know?
Yeah.
So that being said, I think that it's a missed opportunity to really for the people involved, especially Robert Redford, to actually shine and be able to display more than just a visual perception of him.
Yeah, you made a good point. What was it you were saying? To be able to connect with him, it was just, you know, you at least have an internal monologue, or have him at least like talk to himself, or
he's got to. I mean, when you're out there alone, I mean, I talk to myself daily. You know, if I'm in a car, if I'm in traffic. I mean, how many times do you guys listening when you're driving and you're in the car? Do you talk to yourself? You're screaming at people for cutting you off. You're thinking about, you know, what you're gonna have for dinner. You're thinking about work. You're bitching and complaining. Whatever it is, we all do it. You know. Of course, we keep some of the thoughts in our minds, but believe you me, at some point when you're alone, you talk to yourself. I think maybe it's just me.
I don't know, man.
Do you ever talk to yourself?
I do a little sometimes.
Never.
Like,
but like me, I'll stand and have full conversations.
Yeah, that's a little.
You know, it's like if you put a camera.
I have most of it internally. You know what I mean? I say stuff out loud.
Well, I believe like in a psychological situation like this, where, you know, it's all or nothing, or all is lost, or you know, you're in a life and death situation, I think you're going to think out loud. Not only that, your frustration level will peak, where you're going to complain, you're going to scream, you're going to do something. And I think that would have been a way to connect. Like, people can see, oh, that's what I do when I get mad, or, you know, something, especially in the beginning. The beginning setup of the movie, there is a kind of a narration, but you don't know where or when he does it, because they don't ever loop back and show you this was when he was talking to himself or reading his letter or something like that. So he's basically stranded in the middle of nowhere. Well, he's sailing in the Indian Ocean. So I'm thinking, what the hell is this dude doing sailing in the middle of nowhere? And he's 70 something years old. Why is he out there
by himself?
So he's out there, we're led to believe that he's just out. You know, you have to fill in the blanks in this movie. So you have to actually go into and say, oh, well, maybe he's just trying to get away from it all. Maybe he's gone through a divorce. Maybe someone died. Maybe he just likes sailing.
Yeah.
In the Indian Ocean with no equipment. You know,
he's got some equipment, but
his equipment's dated. I mean, he doesn't have the shit. He's got like papers and radios and stuff. You know, and I think we as an audience. Now, what we know from people making mistakes, we plan things out. Like, you let someone know where you're going, okay? You don't just go and sail to the Indian Ocean in a sailboat, a wooden sailboat.
Yeah.
And if you do, you let the press know. Usually people, when they embark on journeys like that, they let people know.
Yeah.
Something, someone, you know?
Or yeah, they have, no one was looking for him.
Yeah, or you have equipment. Let's just say if you're old school. Let's just say if this is, I don't know, let's say even if this is 1976, or this is just old school equipment and they didn't have satellite phones, waterproof phones and stuff like that, they still had flare guns, like a flare gun. I think a flare gun has been around.
Not just a flare.
No, not just the flare that you break off that you have in the back of your car and you see when you're driving on the side of the road and the tractor trailer needs to outline the side so you don't hit them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We see those all
Something
the time.
That shoots up.
Those things have been around forever.
Yeah.
But the flare gun has been around for quite some time. This dude didn't even have the flare gun.
No.
You know? Just little stuff that he should have had.
He had one that shot up for a set. He had like a couple that shot up, but he still.
But this was pretty modern This was a modern...
Well, they don't give you the year. They just give you the time of the... It's like a... It's in July or something. They give you the date, but not the year of when it happens.
Yeah, so... But that being said, I think it could have been a better setup as far as getting to know the man that's in the vessel. Even if they would have done like some flashbacks where he's thinking... You know what I mean? Just little stuff like that. The director,
you don't know who he is at all.
Yeah, the director assumes that everyone seeing this movie knows something about boating, sailing.
Yeah.
And Robert Redford, for some reason, will look up and see the sail and then turn the, I don't even know what these things are, but they're making you to think, or they hope that you know what the hell he's doing. And you don't know. If you don't know sailing, if you don't know... I kind of put one and one together. I said, oh, okay, so he's turning the sail, so he gets a big hole. At some point, a big... what is it?
Like a container. A shipping container.
Shipping container fell off a truck and fell off a boat and smashed into his sailboat and put a big hole in it. So he had to turn the boat so that when the wind blew, it would raise the left side of his... damaged side of his boat up so water doesn't come in. But who would know that he's doing that? Like, there's nothing in there that you really understand that's going on. It's just him doing, which is fine because he does a good job, but it's frustrating because you're trying to figure out, you know, what his game plan is and you know, why isn't he moving fast? You know
he's
what I mean?
77
years old. And out in the middle of nowhere without telling anyone or carrying the right equipment. If you go out in the Indian Ocean, some shit's going to go down. It's not just not going to be, you know, smooth sailing.
No.
Can't be.
No. But he has time to shave and he has time to fix that gash on
Those waves out there are big as buildings.
Yeah.
You have to know this. If you're that old and you've been sailing, you have a nice sailboat, like he had a nice sailboat. No, it's modern times because he had a laptop.
Oh, yeah, he does have a laptop.
Yeah, he had an industrial laptop that he let water get on, and it took 30 minutes before he moved it out of the water, and then he wanted to dry it off. I was like, motherfucker, when the water was coming in, you should have moved it. That would have been the first thing you do with a laptop. You don't keep it near the water. It just kept, you know, remember the part? It was just flooding and flooding. He's just looking at it. I'm like, this dumb fool. So it was modern times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a laptop.
Weird.
So don't.
There are holes in this thing.
I can't give it a pass. Mm. And I'm not nitpicking on the film. It's just some of the stuff just doesn't add up. And especially when it's Robert Redford, someone as iconic as him, he should know better. I mean, he has a film festival, Sundance Film Festival, and come on, man.
Yeah.
Going into it, you should know. Maybe there should be a setup so we know who this guy is and what his mission is or what his problem is. And, you know, because the narration in the beginning, he's like, I tried to be good. I tried to be honest. I tried to be a good man. You know what I mean? So maybe that's the setup. Maybe he's running away or trying to find himself. But
yeah, I guess that's right.
I mean, carry a damn satellite phone, waterproof phones. They got them. They got waterproof cameras. They got all sorts of shit that's waterproof these days.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have that stuff if you know you're going to be in the water? Oh, you're going to be there. You know?
Yeah.
It's just little things. A big knife. Carry a knife. Carry a hammer. Certain things you just got to have. You know what I mean? Carry a damn wetsuit. You know you're going to be in the water. Carry a wetsuit with you. You know? He had plenty of sweaters.
Not a Ralph Lauren sweater vest.
His Ralph Lauren sweaters. You know, his cashmere, his loafers, all that
stuff.
He had
to change of clothes before he had food.
He had nice clothes. He had a can opener. He was eating out of the can. At least he had that.
I don't know. It doesn't add up. You're right.
Yeah, I had problems with that film, people, as you can see. I mean, I could go on and on, and I think I just did. I told myself I was going to keep certain things short in the podcast, but me picking away at this film, you know, it did look good, and I loved the music. The music, one of the things I like about film, or my main thing I love about film is music and the way music can tell the story. And this music pretty much takes the place of any narration or any you know, any speaking parts, because it does a beautiful job in each scene and moving the scenes along, which I enjoyed. And but it couldn't save the film. I think people will go see the film based on the interest of it, but it's no Castaway.
No.
Because even Castaway with Tom Hanks, he had Wilson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Wilson became a character by him talking to it. I mean, they did this. They did this with Yoda and R2-D2 in the Star Wars trilogies. These motherfuckers weren't real. We knew they weren't real, even though this was the 80s and the 70s and early 80s. But they made them characters. And that's the beauty of it, because we then are able to inject ourselves in the film. And then you can say, well, what would I do in this situation? Mm. You know, a couple in the beginning of the movie, that's what I found myself. I say, if I was him, I'd go back to that container and use it. You know, and he did it. And I was like, yeah, that's what I would do. And but then there was nothing after the early setup of the film. There was nothing there that you would say, all right, I relate to this and I can see why he's doing that. And, you know, because the one scene when he got so frustrated and he yelled out, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was like, yeah, I would have done that like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was the only like human, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like genuine emotion, you know.
And outside of him sleeping, because I said it 1,000 times in the film, I was like, sleep. Oh, I just sleep. I just wait till somebody, I'll sleep all day. No need to for me to be out in the sun or the big waves.
Using energy either.
Well, I would throw up. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be any good. I would throw up and shit all over the damn boat.
Ew.
I just wouldn't be any good. So I would just sleep. Just hope it gets. There's no need for me to poke my head out. Keep the shit chambered and sealed. There's no need to open it up. I don't need to go out there. I know all is fucked. If the waves are coming.
Remember when it turned upside down and stuff, it capsized?
Still, no need to even go out. Just let it be. Just stay there.
Fall asleep through that.
There's air in there, so it's going to float. You know what I mean? As long as nothing breaks, you're good. You're good. And thank God he had some resin that he was able to seal that hole
up. And duct tape.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a lot. You go out there, you should have at least 6 rolls or a case of duct tape on a boat. No, it'll help. I'm telling you, people, if you don't have duct tape in your life, you're screwed.
You can make a cup out of it. You can do a lot of. I mean, you can make anything out of duct tape. I've seen it on one of those shows.
It is the way of the future.
Like Mythbusters or something.
It is the way of the future. It is the way of the future.
I don't know about that.
I don't even. Duct tape's not going anywhere. Mm. I'm telling you. If you need it, it's there. You're going to need it sooner or later for something. Do you have any? Do you have any?
I don't have real duct tape. I just have like box
tape.
Any
in your truck?
No.
No. I'm going to get you. That's what your next gift is. Your next gift for me is going to be some duct tape.
Never going to use it.
But when you do.
You'll have plenty.
You'll have it. That's my point. So this film needs plenty of duct tape to fill the holes. Up to you people. If you guys want to go see it, go see it. But, you know, it's going to be.
How many stars?
I'd give it 2 stars. So if I was to give it anything, I would give it to the 2 stars. And I think that's generous. Like, I could easily go 1.5 stars. But no, that would be mean. That's just, you know.
Mean for Robert Redford.
Yeah, 2.5 stars. He does carry the film. So he does a good job in carrying the film because he still looks good and he's able to. You're able to see the emotion in his eyes and his facial expressions, but I still kind of miss those kind of like oh shit moments. You know, you're sleeping, all of a sudden you feel wetness. I'd be like fuck, you know what I mean? I would be like holy shit. I would there'd be a more sense of urgency. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was very calm and collected.
Which is fine, but
I think it was to show also that he's very experienced.
Yeah, well, again, we have to assume that
he's
El Capitan.
Yeah,
and,
my assumption is that.
But
you
don't really get to know the character even at the end of the movie. It just ends, and you know, you're just like, all right, man.
Well, you feel throughout it that he's gonna make it out. You know what I mean? It's just the way that.
No, I thought he was gonna. I didn't know what was gonna happen.
Well, you feel like he seems like he knows what he's doing, and you know, if you were stuck at sea with him, you feel somewhat safe.
It does keep you. Yeah, keep you engaged just by him not saying anything. But still, I give it 2 stars. I wouldn't rush out to see it if you don't have anything to do, you know.
If it's raining,
yeah, you go see it. But I mean, if it's you could wait for video if you have to see it. But I don't think you'll die if you miss it. You know, it's one of those type films, so. There it is. Get it together, Miriam. Wake up. Don't be yawning on the podcast.
Sorry.
The hell's going on here, people? Jesus.
You have to call me out.
Got to do it. Type of show we run in here, people.
Can't
have the employees Are you an employee?
I don't know. Am I getting paid?
No. Oh. They say that, though, man. People come up to me, and they're like, yeah. Someone invited me somewhere recently. I was like, I can't. I got a podcast scheduled. You know, I take them seriously. You know, I got one scheduled. I got to do this. And, you guys just get drunk and just do it. I was like, kind of. But I was like, no, I really don't drink. That, I mean, sometimes I'll have a drink before if we're doing a wine tasting mm-hmm. podcast or something like that, which was fun.
Yeah.
The wine tasting one, wasn't it? You got a little hammered?
Yeah, I drank a little too much.
What do you think?
I should have eaten more.
Mary, you're messing with the big boys.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Tazi.
Dangerous. Tazi's, yeah, it's like tag team.
Tazi was running around, thought she could hang. I always warn people, too. Like, when I go out with people and hang out with friends and family and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, when you're talking and having a good time, you don't realize.
Oh, you don't realize. You're going through 3, 4, 5 bottles of
wine.
Yeah,
and you want to try them all because they're, like, giving them rave reviews, and it's an experience for me. It's an educational experience.
Well, those guys, Tony and Jeff, they're seasoned vets.
Yeah.
I mean, they do this stuff. They enjoy themselves. They enjoy their friends and family. And that's one of the things I told you up front. I was like, you know, when you hang out with these guys, it's the real deal. You know what I mean? You know, it's... In a way, it's like...
That's the warning. It's the real deal.
Well, it's the real deal. Like, what's that mean?
Yeah. Okay.
It's the real deal.
This, I'm ready.
No, this is like... This ain't like playing, you know, football, you know, in the playgrounds. This is the NFL, you know?
Okay.
This is the NFL.
Oh, I get it.
You're up there. You're in the majors, you know? The major leagues. You're not playing T-ball anymore. You're playing, you know...
Next time I'm going to eat, like, barbecue or something.
You're playing
before.
With... You're playing
like a nice
with...
Nice base.
You're playing with Derek Jeter, you know. You're out there. What? She felt it, people. Miriam was at the. I forgot what we were talking about. How we got on this subject, but Miriam thought she was just gonna go in there and have a couple sips of wine. But these dudes, they drink. They bring it. They bring the pain. And I, like I said,
daytime drinking.
Daytime,
good.
Middle of the damn day, eating, drinking.
Barely eating, though. We were mainly drinking.
No, the food is usually there for show.
Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah, here, we have sandwiches. But it was like a little nibble. It's like, yeah. This is not.
But that's nothing, though, because they'll follow that up, and they will have one that will equal or surpass, maybe not surpass, but it'll be equal wine and lots and lots and lots of food.
Mm.
So you're just full and fucked up. Yeah. So you need to be careful because you're in dangerous waters. And I always tell people when they, being that I was educated by this crew, like people say, oh, my tolerance, I can now drink you. I can, you know, I'll get you fucked up. Well, you won't. You won't. That's just it. I'm sorry to tell you. But I always let people think that they will, even when I am kind of fucked up, but I'm not because I can go on and on and on. Unless you put something in my drink, which has happened. You won't get me that way. It won't happen. So I always tell people, I was like, really, you won't, because I'm a pro. I do this for a living. I've done this for a living.
Yeah.
It's not saying that I drink a lot and I drink all the time. It's just that I know every spot and every angle that's going to come at me, and I know how to handle, like Robert Redford on the fucking boat. I know how to handle the situation when it comes. So I know how to drink. I know how much to drink. I know when to drink. I know when to stop eating and drinking. Sometimes not so much eating. I'm working on that, people. I am working on that. Miriam thought that was funny. I'm sure some of you listeners that know me think that's funny, too. But you have to know when to say, hey, you know what, guys? I've had enough. I had to do that to Miriam. I had to say, hey, you know, we're drinking. I could see she was getting out of hand. You know, I could see some things were going out. She was blacking out a little bit, but didn't realize it. It's almost like a deer when a beautiful little deer gets shot and she doesn't realize that she's been hit. And the deer's just still looking up. Ugh. Or sometimes the deer tries to run. You know, it's like that. She didn't realize.
Yeah,
that
you got me out of there.
She didn't realize. I was like, oh, fellas, I think I just saw the bat signal. I've got to beat feet, so this podcast has to come to an end, I told them, you know. But I knew that she was three sheets to the wind, and she needs to be escorted out of there.
Thank you.
And, you know, indulging in the wine, indulging in the sandwiches.
No, not even. I should have had more.
Yep, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's
day drinking, not good.
And then she was indulging in the scotch.
That's what did it. Yeah, that's what I was like, all right, I'm done.
Like, she's done. There's no way. It's like an impossibility. And these guys are like...
All of you are very encouraging.
Well, yeah. We're men.
Well, yeah.
We're men. And yeah. These guys are like spiders. You know, they're putting their web out there and just seeing, you're coming in. Yeah, it's a beautiful web. Look at how pretty everything looks. You're just getting tangled up in it. You're the beautiful little butterfly. And you're just, oh, I'm going to get in this web. It looks so inviting and warm. Ah.
I'm wrapped up.
You're wrapped up and tangled up and you're not getting out. We got you now. We got you, Mariam Tazi. Mm. We're not letting go.
They were nice. It was a good time.
Oh, they're great guys.
It was nice to meet
Tony
them.
And Jeff. They're holding it down. We have to do another podcast with them. Hmm. I think I got something in the works. But yeah, people, don't try to drink or outdrink or outshine. You know what I mean? Because you get tangled up in the web and you can't get out. But you're lucky I'm a nice guy. So I might let you out and live to fight another day and then make fun of you. That's what I do. You know, you go to these parties and places, you got to know what to do and what's going to go down. If not, you're done. You're going to eat too much and drink too much. Yeah. I went to a gathering recently. Funny thing. You might find some humor in this. And it was like a kind of like a potluck or a get together. You know, people bring things. Mm-hmm. And one guy, this guy named Tom, brought two big bags of bacon to the party. How genius is that?
Just bacon?
Just bacon. Two
fried
different. One
bacon.
One was maple and one was original, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Crispy, crunchy, big Ziploc bags. It was as if he was bringing in cocaine, you know what I mean, to the party. That guy, you know, it shows up with the...
I'm thinking about having a potluck next week. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You can crumble it and put on all
don't,
this
if
stuff?
You do have one, invite me. But don't tell anyone, and I'm going to bring bacon.
Okay.
Just for the conversational piece alone, just for that, I guarantee you'll get laid, people. Look, here, guys listening, listen to me. And if you're a girl and you want to be the hit of the party, you know, whatever your goal is, it will be reached. So if you want to get laid at a party, chances are you will, because that right there is... genius on so many levels. You walk into the party.
The smell.
A big bag. Not a little ass bag. He cooked up, you know, the big bag of bacon in one, the whole pack,
all
and a whole
it.
Pack, and brought it in, and you see it there. And the first thing you're going to ask is, who
brought the bacon?
Who brought the bacon? Right?
Yeah.
And what are you going to say? The person that said,
as you're crunching it.
And it's delicious. It's delicious. It's delicious.
That's a really good idea.
And the guy could be in the other room. Who brought the
bacon? Yo, I did.
Who
that was me.
Yeah, it's me. You're the hero. They immediately hoist you up on their shoulders and you hold two hands up.
In glory.
Yes.
You're being celebrated. You're being celebrated like they did Rudy in the football game.
Oh, my face.
You're celebrated. You're a hero from here on out. Think about that for a minute. Everyone listening, think about that. No, you don't bring the 50, the 80. I've done it 1,000 times.
Cupcakes,
and to the point that I don't even do it anymore. I brought $100 bottles of wine to parties and made the mistake. I bought a beautiful vintage Burgundy one time to a party, and everyone opened it up and started eating Doritos with it. And I almost lost my...
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going to save my good bottle for me.
I almost lost my mind. I brought bottles of wine to meetings. Gorgeous bottles of wine. Nice. Some of my favorites. And what happens? Sometimes they don't even open them, and I see them put them on their shelf because it's just it's just a bottle of wine. And I'm like, oh, they didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
You know? So I quit doing that, and I'd bring like something fruity, festive, and fun. I can get like a nice Riesling or a Malvasia, a Moscato d'Asti. I'll bring stuff like
Prosecco.
Just something simple and fun that if they do open it, it's going to be a little different, unique. I'll bring, what's that Portuguese white wine?
The Vino Verde.
Yeah, Vino Verde. I'll bring that because it's different than Chardonnay. And if they do open it, they're going to be like, ooh, that's kind of livens up the party. It's
something
fun.
A little different than a Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, I stay away from. Merlots and Cabs, I stay away from. So I usually pick obscure grapes that if they do open it, Gruner Veltliner is always a good one people like from Austria. So I'll do that to set the party. But think about it. Stop what you're doing and bring a big bag of bacon. That changes the whole party. Because you know the table when everyone walks in and they're setting the cabs and they're setting booze and they're setting... Sometimes you go to parties and it's just a booze table.
Yep.
And people just drop stuff off at the party. Imagine walking into a party and you look on that table and you see two big bags of bacon.
I get excited.
Yeah, it's happiness. Yeah. It's joy. It's so...
You're like, really?
And it's comforting.
Yeah.
And you're the hero.
It's salty and it's crunchy.
Yeah, it's just everything you want in your mouth. It's everything you want.
It's a party in my mouth.
It is a party in her mouth.
Like her. Her, yes.
Understand, people. So if you're a male, yes, you're going to be a hit. Chances are the ladies are going to love it because ladies love salty things in their mouth. And if you're a lady and you do it, you're going to be a hit because all the girls that may have higher heels and a better outfit or more blonde or whatever the case is, I see girls. First thing women do when other women are in a party environment, they're looking at the other women and sizing them up and licking them up. You know how it is?
Yep.
Women do that. I see it. I watch them all the time and I'm like, God damn. I everywhere I go.
Hate.
Now, what's going to separate you? Are higher heels, a shorter dress going to separate you? More eyeliner going to separate you? A couple extra dabs of perfume going to separate you?
Couple bag more. Of bacon will. Yeah. That's the girl who brought the bacon.
Yeah. All the fucking guys.
That's the chick with the bacon.
Yes. Any guy in there is now going to avoid the big boobs and the blonde and the, you know, whatever is going on, the scripture tattoo on her rib cage, whatever it is, all that is going to stop because you brought two big ass bags of bacon. And that's going to be the secret to your success.
Good advice.
You've reached it. I've seen the glory. I've seen it. I'm telling you. Shit is better than crack. Bacon.
Yeah.
This is going to be the bacon revolution.
I've never seen that done before.
It's the bacon revolution, I'm telling you.
Well, you put bacon in everything now.
Doesn't matter what it is. You have bacon butter. Bacon donuts. Bacon on anything is better. You know what I mean? You go out there and make love to your woman tonight, fellas, and then go into the kitchen and come back with a plate of bacon after. It's better than a cigarette. I guarantee she's going to eat it.
Hell yeah.
She's going to smile. She is going to smile. Think about that. Fellas, listen to me. I never lied. Now, I can't take claim. I can't take you know.
Credit.
I can't take claim. I can't take it. I claim, motherfucker. I can't take. Oh, God. Let me get a tutor. I can't take credit for this. Like I said, my man Tom. Tom, what's Tom's last name? I'd have to look it up. Doesn't matter. Tom knows who he is and probably who you are, but he probably doesn't even listen to the podcast. But he did it, and he planted that seed. I'm just taking it to the next level. Okay,
you know what I mean. A little further with it.
Yeah. I'm like Steve Jobs. You know what I mean? The Walkman was out. We knew about the Walkman. I'm gonna take it to the next level. I'm bringing you two bags of bacon. And not one. You got to give them, you know, the plain
variety.
Maple or something like that. You know, give them two. Big bags. Clear. Don't bring it in something. Don't bring it in a dish. You know, don't put it in Tupperware.
It's like a treat.
Yeah. Yes. Like the dogs. But it's for humans.
Do you maybe able to do tricks too once you give it to them?
Everybody's going to be doing a trick because they're going to be loving you. They're going to adore you. They're going to worship you. From that moment on, you're a hero.
Bacon has a lot of power.
From that moment on, you're a hero. Think about that. It's a beautiful thing. Bacon, people, can't go wrong with it. Trust me on this. You'll
really
win every time.
Now.
Ladies, do it. Gentlemen, do it. That's how we're doing it. So let's move right along now. So next up, I got something I want you to check out. This I thought was funny. We all know my man, Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken's been in some great films. We know him from Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was Captain Koontz. Captain Koontz had a watch, and he was giving it to his son. You know what I mean? This watch he had to put in his asshole.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Vietnam. He had to do some crazy shit, and you know what I mean? He had to survive. Men had to survive.
Yeah.
You know? True Romance. He was the mafioso. You know what I mean? Called black people eggplants. Shocked me. Shocked me when I was a kid and I saw that. Love that role, though. True Romance. Racist motherfucker. And then he was Max Schreck in Batman Returns. You know what I mean?
He's been in so much stuff.
Oh, man. And he was in one of my favorites, which I watched the other day. And I just put it on because I just wanted to get a fix, but I ended up watching the whole movie. He was in The King of New York, 1990s. Frank White. I mean, anything you put him in, he is the shit. I mean, he was in The Deer Hunter, as you know, where he was introduced mainstream culture to Russian roulette. Again, he was in Nam. Nam was a motherfucker. You know what I mean? I mean, it did a lot of, raised a lot of awareness, I guess, especially through movies and television on the stress disorder.
Post-traumatic?
Yes, that part too. and not to make light of that. It's not really a disease, though, is it?
It's a syndrome.
Syndrome, yes. But, yeah, he went apeshit. He was in... have you ever seen The Deer Hunter?
Yeah.
But long time ago, probably. Yeah, you should watch that again. I mean, he was in there, and he was doing the Russian roulette thing and squeezing... That's like
intense.
It's an iconic scene. But, I mean, you get where I'm going, people. Yeah. It's Chris Walken.
Everyone knows him.
Yeah, yeah. Suicide Kings is one of my favorite... favorite Chris Walken movies, where he's another mafioso who gets kidnapped by a bunch of yuppies, and they kidnap Chris Walken, and he's like, "Hey man, you guys really should let me go." And the motherfucking kids who just want the ransom. I guess they need a quick score. Have you seen Suicide Kings? Yeah, you got to watch it. Mm-hmm.
I have a list now.
Yeah, I could write you Suicide Kings, directed by Peter O'Fallon. And starring, it's got my man in it, doesn't it? Who's in it? Dennis Leary's in it. Jay Moore, that's my man. Jay Moore's in it. A young Jay Moore. And Jay Moore, as we know, has his own podcast, and he's been in movies like, who was the one with Tom Cruise? Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Moore. Come on, Miriam, drink some scotch. Clear your throat now. Come on. Production value's going to go down with you gurgling. Suicide Kings is a phenomenal movie if you guys don't see it. Just awesome. But anyway, so Chris Walken. So the other day, folks, let me get to the point because I get long-winded. I'm trying to work on that. I ran across a video, and I actually did a video. There's a video on YouTube called Cooking with Pears. And if you Google it on YouTube, it'll come up. It's Christopher Walken, and he's cooking a chicken. No, it's called Chicken with Pears. And Cooking with Chris Walken. Something like that. You get what I'm talking about. And I saw this video years ago, and so I just wanted to see it again. Every couple few months, I like to watch Chris Walken cook. It's just kind of enjoyable for me.
It's random.
Yeah, it's very random, but okay. This is gonna make sense.
Okay.
Especially in our world, in food and wine.
Okay.
It's gonna make sense, and it's the funniest thing you'll ever see. It's not the original cooking with or chicken with pears. I actually made a chicken with pears video with my son. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
A long time ago? I think I had a fro back then, too. I think I had like a little mini like fro like Lamont Sanford I was rocking back in those days. And my son actually filmed it while I was cooking with pears, and I was doing a kind of like, you know, nod at Chris Walken and cooked a whole chicken. I may repost that for you guys on American Riddle.
Was it with
Facebook
pears or with beer?
Pears.
Pears?
I think he uses beer too, but it's the whole...
Because I've seen the chicken with beer.
Well, the whole chicken with pears thing is because Chris Walken likes to use the slices of the pear, and it cooks and it makes a cookie, a delicious cookie. I'll never forget that. Chris Walken goes, "It's a delicious cookie."
Of a pear.
Of a pear. They make good treats after. He says this, and I'll post that video. There's going to be three videos that I will post on the Facebook and Twitter and the Facebook.
The Facebook.
Yeah, I'm getting old. On the YouTube and the Facebook and the Twitters, I'll post those videos. But we're going to take a listen. Maryam Tazi and I are going to watch the video, because there's another one where he goes in, and this is a production. The first video, he's basically a home movie, but this one I just stumbled on. It's a production, like a TV show produced, Cooking with Walken, I believe that's what it's called, and he does the chicken and pears again, but he has a little audience, and it's so funny to watch Walken's face. And not only that, you're watching the people that's with him. I think it's, what's the guy's name? Is his name Bowser or something? I think he's in one of those cop movies or something. But we'll comment on it as we're playing it. So we're gonna take a look at that real quick.
Hi, I'm Chris Walken. We're in Westport, in the blazing sun, and we're gonna make a chicken, I think.
You see this guy? We're gonna make a chicken, I think. Belzer.
Today my guest is actor and comedian Richard Belzer, who you know from Law and Order SVU.
See the I love you, won't you tell me your name?
Oh, please come in my...
When he's not solving crimes, Richard is doing some really
There's
exciting things in the kitchen.
Oh, my name is Richard.
Hi, I'm Scarlett.
And your name is?
Elise.
Richard and I start our culinary journey by traveling to a local market.
It's a great road. Connecticut's great.
There's so many quotes in here.
Close enough.
So here we are.
Wait till you see the quotes. Hear the quotes.
We need chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
We need pears.
Pears.
Lemon or orange?
Yeah, a couple of lemons.
Oh!
Come on.
Sorry, Richard.
I don't see sweet potatoes. Thanks.
Are you a man or a woman?
Not now. Not even. Thanks.
Have a great Thank day.
So we got the chicken.
Chris? Nice.
While Richard so the assistants are dressed in like black, like
my lovely tight assistants pick skin. Up the rest
tights.
Of stuff.
We got enough.
Yeah, we all we need to get is potatoes and we can go.
And they're just blonde, tall.
We need to get to the petting zoo. Here we are at the petting zoo. When I first came here, you could walk in there and they had llamas. And
short phrases the way he talks.
That goat does not care.
Later that same day, we arrived back at the house.
I'm going to change into my Hawaiian cooking.
Dog on the table.
Baby, stay over here.
This is always good.
I cut the bottoms off the pears.
So the pears will cook with the chicken?
Yes.
Inside it or in the same pan?
Well, the same pan.
You know, Richard, do we have salt?
Lots of salt.
Really, that much?
I mean, yeah.
She's not going to know what chicken. She's doing trying to peel.
Well, you know what? I got an extra
Look how she
peeling.
Peels.
If you could take about half the skin off.
So you want to put some Old Bay on? How much?
I mean, you should taste this, Chris, to see how much you want on.
That's good.
What's the temperature of the
Look
oven?
At the women. Oh, they have no idea what's going on.
That's why the men are cooking.
I'm going to put it in the oven
So
now?
Here we've got an onion, and we've got some pears, and we've got this chicken. It's at least an hour.
Wow!
Beautiful.
Yes.
Should I make a salad?
Yes.
So I'm going to make an arugula and shaved parmesan salad with heirloom tomatoes, sunflower oil, and olive oil.
Great. Tomatoes are a fruit. Did you know that?
Yes. You want to feature the brujol.
You know, they make the film 10 Best list. This year, for the first time, Citizen Kane is at number one.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Citizen Kane is like the last supper. So what I'm going to do now is, we have enough towels?
You like Spartacus?
All right, so you're cooking shrimp and scallops together.
Because the oil gets in the
juice. This is
going to
be classic.
A little bit of orange. Watch out.
I got you.
Oh, no.
Oh!
That's my fish melange à l'orange.
Poo, poo, poo. Patient is ready. Put it over here. That's
with the food now ready, we move to the deck and receive a mandolin serenade from Richard's son-in-law and enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Play, see to play.
Watch.
So,
watch Chris's.
This is the life.
Thank you for cutting the chicken.
That's right.
Ah, that was can you do that or is that too hard?
We'll cut to a clock spinning around. We grow beards, and then there's people have jetpacks, and there's robots, and like it's 2058, and she's still doing it. And you and I are like skeletons.
Watch her head.
And there's bombs flying, but she's still on screen.
Jetpacks.
Yeah, and in the 50s in school, we had these books, and I say, in the future, you all have a jetpack. Cars will drive themselves. And like, where's my future, man? Come on.
You don't have a jetpack?
Well, James Bond had one, remember? I love him, right? James Bond. The guy goes, he goes, a martini, and the guy goes, shaking or stirred. He goes, do I look like I'd give it down?
Oh, that's right.
Gimme.
Bebe, look. There's chicken. Oh, here, I know what I want to think of. The best eating scene.
No, I think we need some help here. Let me.
No, we're going to cut to calendars and clock.
When I was a kid, one of the first jobs I got was doing a commercial. And it was for pancake syrup.
Ah.
And I had to spend the whole day eating pancakes.
They didn't have a spit bucket?
It was difficult after a while. It's not good to eat too many pancakes.
Yeah. Here's to your health and our friendship. Cooking more. Thank you, ladies. I'm going to surprise you with something. One of your fans has a tattoo of you. Did you know this?
No.
And look how great that artwork is. Talk about a fan.
That's a terrible picture.
Did you ever take a picture of your nose?
Of course. Take a picture. How would you do it?
Like, cook
take a
him.
Picture of my nose just from here.
Just the nose. Oh, you have a great fucking
get it really big. You want some nostril? You could hang that on the wall. Isn't that great? You could spend the whole day doing this.
Is there any dessert or what are we going to do now?
I'm stuffed.
Me too.
That's great. He looked like he was having fun.
Are you kidding me? Did you see that?
That's cool.
Are you serious?
The view.
Did you see everything that went down? I mean, you go from the beginning, you have Chris Walken, who only speaks like this. Everything, there's a period after every word and a pause, and he just goes into it. I mean, there's so many quotes. I was quoting some of it on Twitter. I'm sure no one knew what the hell I was talking about. Do you like Spartacus?
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Citizen Kane is not number one. You know?
So bizarre.
And it was... listen, people. You just heard this. But when you watch it, there's so many random things. The dog on the counter. There's so many
where
random...
Where they're cooking.
The women. The women alone.
So dumb.
You like... two tall, extra thin models, blonde, that have no idea what to do in a kitchen.
Oh, my God.
They do not know their way around the kitchen.
But they knew how to put their glass out for more wine.
They know how to do that. They know, and they were holding it by the stem. They know that much.
No, open the bottle, but they know how to get served.
I was waiting for her to hold it with two hands around the goblet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with holding it that way. But that video right there, it that's for funny. Me, it didn't disappoint. I stumbled on it trying to find the old one. There's another one just called Chicken and Pears.
It was just him by himself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in his house. But same thing. They're hilarious, and I'm crying. I must have watched that thing almost a half a dozen times. I mean, just so many quotes. And Chris Walken, I mean, he's a delight. I mean, he's I want to pull up his...
Just fun to watch.
He's amazing. You know he's a trained dancer?
Really? No, yep. I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a...
like ballroom dancing?
He's a dancer, and I just recently found this out, that he incorporates a dance scene in every movie he does.
Does he?
It's like part of his contract. And he does dancing in air. And he does.
Well, I saw him dance in the Fat Boy Slim video.
Yeah. And King of New York in the beginning, he dances.
I got to watch more. I got to pay attention.
Yeah, all the
now.
Movies, there's a dance scene, apparently. Let's see. But yeah, I guess he wanted to be a dancer prior to, and then moved into acting. He's done Saturday Night Live a number of times. Did mm-hmm. you? Also, this is a fact that a lot of us nerds know, that he was up for the role of Han Solo in Star Wars. He was like, yeah, that would have been interesting. That would have been interesting. But, yeah. I mean, you got to love Chris Walken. Yeah. The Fat Boy Slim video was awesome. Mm-hmm. He just brings it. And you know he's going to be Christopher Walken in every movie. But at the same time, I mean, he's just believable.
He's awesome.
And he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you're watching this dude and you know he's a train wreck, but it's not the train wreck that is going to end bad or badly, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're watching someone like Gary Busey, kind of same, but the bizarro version, you know? He's like the bizarro version of Chris Walken, where you know you're just going to go, ooh, that didn't go so well, you know? You have Chris Walken and you have Gary Busey. Gary yeah. Busey's a delight. Like, yeah, I could just talk about Busey all day, but
different.
Walken's a little bit more charming. And he's a little bit more refined, I think.
Yeah.
And Busey is edgier, and you don't know what the fuck you're going to get. I mean, Gary Busey, he had a wreck, and it really messed him up worse. I think he was driving California without a helmet on his motorcycle and cracked his head wide open.
Oof.
And ever since then, he hasn't been the same. But
sad.
He wasn't the same prior to, I don't think. I think he's always been kind of wild and cutting edge and unpredictable and walking the same. But, like I said, kind of cut from the same mold, but a little different. And Walken is a delight to watch in and around the kitchen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of messy in this one, but...
Oh, it is a hilarious, hilarious video. And I'll post all those on the Facebook and the Twitter for you guys to watch.
It's
and,
funny.
You know, with that, if you're in the kitchen and you're cooking chicken and pears, let's say if your stove leaks or the gas line, what are you going to do? You got to have duct tape for that. I bet you Chris Walken has duct tape.
He probably does.
I bet he does. I bet he knows all about it. I bet you he could talk about it for an hour. If he says he could take a picture of his nose all day.
Yeah, that's true.
You talk to him and I could talk for hours, I bet. I bet him and I would be good friends. And I bet you he has rolls of duct tape. So people, stock up on your duct tape. And thanks for tuning in. Domino motherfucker.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you about another Saturday night experience I had. It was Saturday night and I was feeling kind of funny. Gold around my neck, pockets full of money. Went to the corner, man, who did I see? But the super bad bitch looking back at me. I said, if I wait and then you got a big butt. This bitch turned around, all she said was, what? I said, my name is Cooley, baby, I'm with the shores. Before I knew it, up come my boys. Noisy as hell and drunk as shit. Say, yo, Schooly, school, what time is it? Looked a little closer and I knew it was a gag. What I thought was a girl was nothing but a fag. Oh man, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, Eminem, man? It's wild Saturday nights, man. You know, I got something else to say, man. I got something to say, man, that everybody is like this. Everybody rapping, but they don't know how. Should've seen the boy rapping to the cow. He rapped so hard that the nigga saw smoke. He lifted up the shiva and they both took a toe. The cow got high and the boy got by. Don't come in my face and ask me why. Chiba chiba, y'all. Yeah, it's that Chiba Chiba making him feel like that. Chiba Chiba, y'all. Some call it Chiba, some call it weed. It's the killer, it's the filler, it's the thing that you need. It's the Chiba Chiba, y'all. Little Miss Muffet sat on the sofa, smoking a J and scratching the itch. Along came Spider and sat down beside her and said, yo, what's up with that bitch? But then down the road came Mary and a lamb, smoking a Lacy in each and every hand. The poor little spider, he couldn't score any. They was $2 bitches and he only had a penny. Cheaper, cheaper, y'all. Yeah. Cheaper, cheaper, y'all, y'all. Let me take a little tell about Peter the Pimp. Sucker MC trying to cap a lip. Rode around town in a couple of cars. Got gagged by the man trying to stick up a bar. The judge said, boy, what was on your mind? Said, I had some cheaper, cheaper cocaine and some wine. The judge said, boy, relax and have a beer. He won't be doing shit for the next 10 years. Cheaper, cheaper, y'all, y'all. Yeah, yeah, it's that cheaper, cheaper. Cheaper, cheaper, y'all, y'all. Some call it Shiva, some call it weed. It's a killer, it's a filler, it's a thing that you need. It's a cheaper, cheaper, y'all, y'all. Yeah, yeah, you know. Me and my man, Cold Money, my man Eminem, we're just chilling. You know what I mean? My name happens to be Schooly D, if you didn't guess by now, you know. Only Schooly D gonna make some crazy ass shit like this. I get back. Take it away, Cool.